My name is Carrie, owner of Secondhand Chic.
Hi, my name is Inez from Boho Baby Heaven.
I'm Aaron Black with Made of Rain.
Hi there, my name is Zara from Atelier Tanami.
Hi, my name is Joy from Joy's Tiny Treasures.
Hi, I'm Bobby.
And I'm Tess. Welcome to the Etsy Success Podcast. The Etsy Success Podcast is your source for tips on improving your shop and for inspiration from your fellow sellers. Our goal is to empower, inspire, and motivate you to be the entrepreneur you want to be. Each episode, we'll talk to Etsy shop owners about their unique stories, and we'll ask Etsy employees to share their expert knowledge on running an online business. We'll also ask the Etsy community, that means you, to share questions for our guests and send us your answers to some questions we have for you. This podcast is brought to you by Etsy, where millions of people around the world connect to make, sell, and buy unique goods. Follow your passion and start your Etsy business today.
Today, we're going to be talking about growth. A lot of sellers welcome it, but lots of sellers are also pretty intimidated by it.
Yeah, it can feel scary because often it means taking big steps that you've never taken before.
And they're decisions that can affect your livelihood, like hiring employees or interns, for example.
Yeah, when you do that, you have to be ready to let go of control over certain aspects of your shop, and that's really hard. For a lot of people, their shop is like their baby.
Yeah, and taking that plunge into wholesale, where you're producing more inventory, figuring out how to price it for retailers, how to make a line sheet, how to find the right retailers, that's a big change too.
It's a world that a lot of sellers aren't familiar with, but it really doesn't have to be as scary as a lot of people think.
Today we're going to be talking with Lane Huerta of the Etsy shop Love Lane. Her business took off and eventually led her to sell wholesale and hire employees. Lane works out of Savannah, Georgia, and she designs colorful capes, crowns, and wings, so the kids wearing her designs really get to feel like superheroes. Welcome, Lane.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for joining us.
I'm excited to be here.
So, your shop has been open since 2008, but your first products were actually tea towels. It wasn't until 2014 that you started making the capes that really got you to where you are today. Now, Love Lane is your full-time job, and you've been able to hire employees and sell wholesale. So, tell me, how did you get into clothing design?
I believe it was a happy accident. I did start selling tea towels and pillows on Etsy back in 2008. It was fun. I was making some sales here and there. But when I had my daughter in 2011, I took a little hiatus. But when she became old enough to run around, you know, the house and the clean, you know, laundry as I was trying to put things away, I realized I could do something better than just the laundry.
Yeah. What were things like in the early days of your business?
In the early days, I live in Savannah. So the art college here has a wonderful group of young kids that are wanting to intern. So I was able to find someone from SCAD to help me, you know, around the studio, mix inks and cut fabric and things like that. But it was a lot of hustle. I had no idea. It was truly a hobby starting off. I love to make some side money. But when we put out the first group of things and got the photography, I felt like on point, it really just took off on Etsy. I think the timing was probably right too for the first season. It came out, you know, late summer. So everybody was clamoring for Halloween. And that was a good push for us. But I was sewing everything myself at my studio. I had one helper. And when the order started to come in, you just scramble. And I found some friends of friends and to help me sew. And it's just like organically grown from there. Now there's 8 of us or so, not all full time, but there's about 3 or 4 of us full time.
And then it's grown so much. So what was the moment when you realized, like, hey, I might actually have a real business here?
I believe the first time I realized that this could truly, truly work out was when Etsy, when y'all post a picture of my daughter Clementine in the pink flying costume, I sold out of everything in the store right away. I could not sew it all myself. And I just knew that if I kept, you know, renewing these listings, I would definitely need help. And people, you know, found us and were asking for, you know, images for magazines and online. And I just needed help. You just know when you need help. I chose to ask for help. And that's a challenging thing a lot of times, to ask for help. I feel like I'm an artist first and by default business person. And I'm learning more and more every day on that aspect of things, which is equally, if not more important, I believe.
So you have a daughter, Clementine, she's 5. How did she inspire your work?
Clementine was definitely the inspiration, because children just love to imagine and play and be silly. And it's so fun when you can start to have those conversations with them and know what's going on in their minds and what their pretend, you know, their pretend play and pretending to be. It was so inspiring to me to be able to help accessorize that in a really fun way, that she is definitely the biggest muse. She's the biggest critic. She'll tell me what color she thinks are, you know, she likes, or if she doesn't like something, or if something doesn't fit properly, she's like, "Mommy, you need to do this." And so that's, you know, and putting these costumes on her friends that to watch them run around and see what works and what they gravitate towards. That's my little target market right there.
I mean, that must be a nice little perk of having
such
such direct access to your customers.
It's true.
What's exciting about creating this kind of clothing for kids?
Oh my gosh, I get to be a kid again, or I really don't feel like an adult half the time, I'll be honest. And maybe that's a good thing. You know, having those memories and just being in the moment and having that connection, because one, for me, you know, she's growing up so fast. She's my one and only. Just having those quality moments, and for her, as well as, you know, for it to be my job at this point to help in, you know, inspire wonder and inspire creativity and imagination. It's a dream come true. It took me until I was like the age of 40 to really find my niche, but I definitely have.
Yeah. And so how do you delegate tasks to your employees?
First, it was the sewing, because I was still printing, and then I got some good printing help. But there's certain things that I really want to hold on to, and there's certain things you do need to let go of. And it becomes apparent what you feel you can delegate first. And that's honestly the packing and the shipping and that type of thing.
I'm also wondering how you started selling wholesale.
I had been asked a lot, and we were doing well with retail sales, but I was going to some conferences and listening in about wholesale, and I was fascinated about it. It was a North Star for me. Like, if I'm selling wholesale and I'm in stores, like, I've made it. This is great. That's a big step. But my price point. So I really had to, and I do this with, you know, every product as we're designing it now, get your numbers down. There's mathematical equations. And so my numbers just weren't completely on. I raised my prices and I sold. There was no one, I think maybe one person made a little comment about it out of, you know, hundreds. And so when I was able to raise the prices to make sense for wholesale, then we tested the waters a little bit, reached out to a wonderful shop here in Savannah, and we just took over some things, and they sold out that weekend. And she ordered more. And so we, you know, made sure that I was able to handle a couple small, more local orders. At that point, I was able to reach out and hire more seamstresses. It's fun when you look back, you're like, wow, it was such a big project. But now it's like, oh, okay. Well, now we create a product, it has a SKU, and we, you know, make sure it's all set up, ready to go for, you know, selling wholesale to people. But just getting the production down, the production and the pricing. Y'all made it really easy, because it was daunting to need to make a line sheet. I think that kind of kept me from doing it for a while, because I making a booklet and laying it out and all these things, you know, it was kind of scary. And so when I was able to just drop everything in and it was online and you send somebody a link, I mean, my gosh, it takes a lot, you know, it takes a lot of the work out of it. You know, as long as you have the numbers right, and you know, it's profitable for everyone, and you're not just doing it to to break even and you can make enough and you can get it in on time, then go for it.
So what have you learned about working with retailers?
I learned that making sure, you know, you ship the orders on time, you follow up, you offer imagery for them. That's a real great, great thing. But packaging, I'm still working on my packaging now. I've been really talking to my favorite stockists on what they feel would help sell the product even more. And I might be shifting some things around. Stay in contact. Send them new when you get new things, which try to send them, you know, get a little mailing list for them, just your stockists together. So you can send them a group email or MailChimp type of thing, just so that everyone's successful. And it's a really fun ongoing relationship.
So if you could point to one thing that really helped you grow your shop, what would it be?
One thing that I think definitely has helped me grow my business, it really is social media. It's being out there, having people repost your images, and it's that grassroots organic of just word of mouth. I like to see people in person too, because being online can be impersonal. Like sometimes you don't have that quality moment with someone. So I love visiting my retail shops and also doing craft fairs so that I can see what people like. And that has helped me grow the biz. That's in turn, they'll speak highly about our product. And that's how things have grown.
So what's been the most challenging part of managing all this growth?
Managing my time, managing life, work, balance, that's been huge. It can consume you. I feel like this business is another child / relationship, obviously. But managing my time better and being a better manager for my team, that's been the most challenging for me and the most important, so that I can turn off a little bit on the weekends and go do things with the family. Because I feel like, I'll be honest, for a while I'm making these wonderful children's costumes, and I've never said this out loud, but I want to go out and play and imagine, and I was working more hours than I feel like were healthy and I should. So things needed to change, and I'm glad I realized that. Just realizing that life can be short, life can be long, but it's, you know, I love this business so much, but also taking care of, you know, your health and yourself and being around the ones you love is equally as important. So
on that note, what would be your best advice for other sellers who are looking to grow their businesses?
You have to love it, love it, love it, love it, love it. It has to be your absolute passion or it's just not worth it. Hard work and really trying to create a product that is an original, where there is a gap in the market, perhaps. If you can photograph it beautifully and have the world see it on, you know, a platform like Etsy, it will work.
Your cover photo on your shop is an older photo of Clementine with your husband holding her up like she's flying.
Oh, yeah.
How does it feel to look back at that photo now?
I love that one. That was our very first photo shoot ever. I had a dream. I saw the image in my head, and that was the one, that was the first image we ever shot that I was like, this is what I want. Let's figure it out, you know? And I think it just says a lot about our brand and what we're about.
So since she was your original inspiration, Clementine, how do you think your shop might change as she grows?
That's actually a conversation I was just having this weekend with some dear friends. I want to expand. I still feel that what we were making in 2014, when we started this, our sizes were sort of like three-ish, you know, two to four. Now, easily, you know, seven-year-olds, eight-year-olds are in, you know, still with the cuffs, enjoying some of the cuffs and things like that. And we're trying to range into some, you know, younger sibling items, you know, for wearing, you know, supervision, maybe some sidekick, you know, dog superhero capes for, you know, sidekick in your life. But we're trying to expand as she gets older. I don't want it to only be, you know, obviously that's not how you, you know, grow a business, but I've had to be pay attention to that so that we're working on all the ages and just not wear my particular muse happens, what age she happens to be at the time. So we're definitely trying to span, you know, from like a year or so to like, you know, a pet here and there, and a doll needs to be dressed up, and then big brother and mom and dad. And so we'll outfit the whole family sooner than later. We can all be big kids.
We've invited Etsy sellers in the forums and on social media to submit their questions for you, and we got some really great ones. So are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. So first question. Mandy Jackson from Three Lemons Co. asks, what are some things you wish you would have done or known when you were starting out that would have better prepared your shop for the size it is now?
Some things that I could have done differently would be on the business side of things, having spreadsheets set up to analyze raw material costs and labor costs, and being more organized that way. That was not my forte. So that's what I would make sure I have everything set up beforehand.
Shell Scow from Vintage Repurposement asks, what tricks have you learned to make photography more efficient, especially when using live models?
When using live models, especially children and animals, I have started to hire or trade with a local photographer. It saves for important shots. It saves a lot of headache trying to get a great image, but I sometimes try to leave it up to the professionals and do some trade or pay for good photography.
Okay, last question. Hey Chica from their shop of the same name asks, what type of superheroine qualities does it take to run a successful business?
Oh, that's awesome. Superheroine qualities for running a business. I feel like you have to have passion. You have to be a little stubborn, and you definitely need to not be afraid of hard work and getting dirty.
Lane, thank you so much for sharing your story with us, and we wish you all the best with your shop.
Aw, thanks so much. This is very special. Thank you.
Before we go, we'd like to leave you with Shop Talk. For each episode, we'll post in the forums and on the Etsy Success social channels, asking a new question for you to answer by calling in or emailing us a voice memo. This week, we asked you what your Etsy income has allowed you to do. Here were a few of our favorites.
Hi, my name is Julie Dignan, and my Etsy shop is The Dreamy Daisy, and my Etsy income has allowed me to quit my day job and stay home with my three kids, one of whom has autism, so that's been fantastic to be able to be home. We've been able to renovate our house, and this summer we're taking a fabulous vacation to Hawaii with our kids. So my husband and I are forever grateful to Etsy for all it's done for our family.
Hello, my name is Jasmine Drake, otherwise known as Dreadful Desire. My Etsy shop is Dreadful Desire Shop, and my Etsy income actually been helping me get better art supplies. When I first started on Instagram, starting doing my illustrations, I had nothing but a small, just a little bit of different colors of Sharpies. But when I started opening my shop in Etsy and promoting myself, and a lot of the revenue came in as well as commissions, it helped me get things like art and fly pens and different acrylics, gouache paints. And I'm really just excited to see a sale on my shop, because whenever I do, it's like they're buying a piece of my heart. So I'm just very thankful to be on Etsy.
Hi, I'm Jen from Jessie Girl Jewelry. My Etsy income has allowed me to stay home with my three children while being able to fund all their activities, such as dance and soccer and summer camp. I've also been able to fund our family vacations. But the biggest thing is this past year, my Etsy income has allowed me to hire three other women so they can also help support their own families. And I'm hoping within the next 2 years that my income from Etsy will give my husband the choice to stop working for someone else and become my partner.
Hi, I'm Amy from Adobe House Vintage. Since I opened my vintage jewelry shop on Etsy in 2011, I've taken my shop from a hobby that brought in $3,000 to $4,000 a year to a part-time job that brings in full-time pay. While I'm not my family's primary breadwinner, my Etsy income has allowed us to buy a new car in 2014, for which I make all of the payments. And it's also allowed us to invest more in our retirement savings, get braces for our children, and visit family more frequently. One of the best things that this added income has allowed me to do is that Working from home, I can sometimes feel a little bit isolated. So this extra income has allowed me to invest in my community by donating to nonprofits in our community in Baltimore, which has helped me feel a little bit more connected. I'm just so grateful that what began as a hobby has turned into such a reliable way for me to take care of my family and the people around me, and cannot imagine what I would do without my Etsy shop.
Be sure to keep an eye on the forums and the Etsy Success social channels for ways to participate in a future podcast. That's it for this episode. Thanks so much for joining us. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts.